Please turn to Psalm 91. And before the end of the sermon, I hope you'll notice, maybe you'll notice now, that there's maybe more than one way you can take that title. But we'll talk about that later. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Dear people of God, you may have noticed that newspapers and magazines and television shows and commercials and all kinds of things tend to show the old year like a grizzled old man with a long beard, white hair, whiter than this. And then, of course, in comparison, to take his place, there's usually, he has a banner across his robe that says 2017, and then there's a baby with a banner across the diaper, 2018. A brand new year, a brand new baby to acknowledge, signify the coming new year. The baby filled with hope and possibilities, a fresh start. But that baby's diaper will usually be missing something. Seldom do we see written properly the letters AD. Now, I had a long, hard time learning that. I didn't know what AD meant for the first half of my life, I suppose. We all know that since a few centuries after the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, time itself is now counted relative to His life. Many of us remember that somewhere along the line a mistake was made, and it turns out that because of the four-year mistake, Jesus was actually born in the year 4 BC. We usually remember BC means before Christ. It's a little harder to remember that the new year 2018 AD means 2018 years Anno Domini. Now that helps a lot, right? All of us have studied Latin real well. Anno Domini is a Latin phrase that means the years in the Lord, or more commonly, the year of our Lord. Literally, it means we're ending 2017 years of living in and with the Lord. It refers to our living in Him and His living in us. It refers to the years belonging to the Lord, as we do along with all creation. Latin phrases are really packed with meaning that way, like Greek and Hebrew. Now, you may also know that in recent times, godlessness is on the rise. And somebody, somewhere, I don't know who, somebody decided that we should change BC to BCE. Now what they've done, without making a big fuss about it, is they've taken Christ out. BCE means before the common era. And then, I've forgotten what they did with AD. What's that? CE, common era, that's right. So they've taken God out of it. So we believers have one more small little fight to hang on to be sure. I refuse to use BCE or CE. I refuse to do it. It's just not right, because it was set up for all these 2,000 years. It was referring to Christ, and I want to keep it that way. Now, I will tell you that no one says Psalm 91 is some kind of a New Year's psalm. I'm not saying that. But we read in Psalm 91 the voice of encouragement. We hear a voice of encouragement in the first 13 verses. And then if you notice it, verses 14 through 16 are the voice of God, his reply, spreading the word to the people of faith. It is a glowing testimony to the security of those who place their faith in God. That's what it's about. That is my encouragement to every one of us. And I want you to encourage your friends and neighbors as well to do this, to be people who trust in God. Scholars tell us that this psalm was probably written by one of the temple personnel, maybe a priest or a Levite. They're not certain who was the actual author of this psalm. But it was most likely a word of encouragement and assurance to the godly worshipers who gathered at the temple. Under God's protection, nothing can touch them, neither man nor beast, by day or by night, not war, not disease, not anything. If we look closely at Psalm 91, which we will for a few minutes, we should first notice that the writer covers the whole of human existence. Any problem or situation people of that day might face. And in many ways, it's similar to ours. Battle would be different in many cases, but those who fight for our freedom, it would apply to them. Whether facing war or temptation or trickery or illness of any kind, the author of this psalm says, this God can and will protect you. Few of us ever see a mother duck or goose. We see many chickens with their young following them around on the island. I don't know if you've ever seen, though, a chicken or any of these other birds protect their young ones by putting their wings over them. That's the picture that's brought to mind here in this psalm. Protection from the point of view of the one in danger, and it is a rich picture of God's protecting his little ones. Probably everyone has been, at one time or another, afraid of the dark. Or of something in the dark. I'm not exactly proud of it, but you know what? Every time I walk through the nursery, from the library to my office, and being a tightwad, I don't turn the light on. About halfway through, I wonder if somebody left a toy right in the middle of the room. Or, worse yet, sometimes I wonder if a brown tree snake could have gotten in the building and he's hanging from the ceiling waiting to fall right on my head. Now, this is true. It's not a real big problem. I kind of smile most of the time when I think of that. But we don't need to fear the dark when we place our faith in God. Not everyone has been under physical attack, but we certainly have seen or heard of arrows flying as evil attacks us by day or by night. In our day and age, the arrows are much bigger. They're tall, about 40 feet tall or more. And most of them are coming from North Korea. Some have faced a pestilence or illness, whether by day or by night. Yet with God, we are kept safe. Few of us have been called into physical battle of war. But even there on a battlefield, the Most High provides protection as soldiers are wounded, safe, or killed. You might even see the punishment of the wicked. I'm not sure if this is a good thing or not, but once in a while when something bad happens to a bad person, I try not to let the smile come all the way out to my face. But I kind of smile inside. But the punishment of the wicked, you will not feel. It will not touch you when you are at God's side. If you live with God, if you live in God, if you live trusting in God, says the psalm, no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent or your house if you don't live in a tent. God's angels will guard you even from beasts who would harm or devour you. The references to those dangerous animals is a poetic way to cover the entire list of mortal threats in this passage. The point, literally, any problem, any dangerous situation that you can imagine is not too difficult for Almighty God to be with you and to keep you safe. I think it's interesting, I hope you do, that we should notice that the you of verses 3 through 13 apply to any of the godly people who make the Most High their dwelling. Verse 9, and it's similar in Psalm 90, verse 1. You might have noticed as we read it that Satan himself applied verses 11 and 12 to Jesus when he tempted him. That's in Matthew 4, 6 and Luke 4, 10 through 11. And Jesus did not contradict him, nor did he need to test the truth of God's word. He knew better than to test his heavenly Father in this way. And that's why Satan's use of this psalm failed. As a much more important point was his own obedience to his Father's will. So he refused to take that supposedly soft option that the evil one offered him because he knew what Psalm 91 is telling us. Put your trust in God. We know he was God, but from his point of view, he trusted in the other parts of the Trinity, particularly God the Father. This psalm is a great comfort to any and all who will come to the Most High God through his one and only Savior, Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is the way to God. Now, if we stopped right there, you would think that Pastor Tom just told you that everything's going to be great, you're not going to be having any problems, there's not going to be any more floods in the Philippines, there's not going to be any more... Everything's going to be wonderful. You'll never get sick. Well, not exactly. The psalm is not trying to answer the age-old question, why do bad things happen? Sometimes they happen to good people. This is not to say that life will be all roses and everything will be perfect and wonderful. If it were so, by the way, verse 15 would be ridiculous and have no meaning. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. In verse 16, being shown God's salvation means long life. It means eternal life, whether or not our earthly life is long or short comparatively. The references in this psalm are to physical problems people face, but in every instance they are also references to the spiritual wars that we also face all the time. Consider this. From a human point of view, say there are three Christians in the same platoon in a military unit, and they are engaged in a fierce firefight. If one is killed, one is wounded, and one kept from harm and kept safe, which one was God with? Of course, not just the safe, one that kept safe. Well, of course, from a spiritual perspective, they are all kept safe. One to be with God immediately, one to be used again with the trial and tribulation of recovery and return to health, and one to continue the battle unharmed. The psalm is about physical protection and safety, and it is about our eternal protection and safety in Christ. So sometimes believers die, and then they get to be with the Lord. Sometimes they fall ill, as some of us have recently, as Brother Jeff is this very morning. Sometimes we go through life with things being relatively good and smooth and feeling good. My arthritis hasn't acted up now for I forget how many days. I'm glad to forget that. Verse 14 says, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name." Loving God and living in him and in his name are the point of this psalm. All the promises of God are for those who believe in him, love him, and trust him. It really is, as I started out saying, truly appropriate that a baby is used to symbolize a new year, because it is a baby born in a manger that brought us new hope and life just approximately 2017 years ago on a winter night in Bethlehem. All of us remember our Christmas celebration. Most of us remember our wonderful Christmas program and the tree. I think we're going to give those things away at the end of the service, right? If we have volunteers. If anybody volunteers at the end of the service, you can have one of the candy canes. And maybe an angel too, right? Then we'll take the tree down. But please, I digress, sorry. A baby celebrating, bringing in a new year is because of the Christ child that we can all love and trust, who gives us eternal life. He gives us physical protection and especially spiritual protection. The hope sent by God Almighty to his people in Bethlehem is the same hope that can help turn this new year into your best ever. That seems awfully bold, doesn't it? What would be the secret to that? It is believing with a childlike faith, for with such a faith, you can throw off any chains of the past and go forward as a brand new person, setting out on an ever new journey, exciting adventure, in an ever new land of opportunity and challenges that God provides. I always have loved, I renewed my faith when I was a young man with the words of Romans 12:2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." This is what a new year can be like, being transformed again and again, trusting God more and more as we go through our lives. How do you make that kind of amazing transformation? Well, in Old Testament terms, which we read this morning, it is to dwell in the shelter of the Most High, to rest in the shadow of the Almighty. In New Testament times, these now 2018 years, Anno Domini, in the Lord, we explain it simply as accepting God's gift, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and Lord, and living each day for his glory. Now, in Old Testament terms, we must find refuge under his wings. In New Testament terms, we must trust him. Make him our top priority. Rest in his shadow. Rely on him as your fortress. Live in him and depend on him and worship him. And acknowledge his name and call on him and love him no matter what comes your way. Trusting God will truly give you a happy new year no matter what. And one last thing, I mentioned that you could maybe take the title more than one way. Do you believe God will have a happy new year? You see, he wants us to love and trust him. And so when we obey his word, this psalm, by trusting him as the Most High God, he will be happy too. It's a very good thing to have God happy with you. And the way to do that is to trust him, live for him, give your life to him. We sang earlier, give up your will. Doesn't mean you don't do anything. It means you let God lead you. and do His will. That will make a happy new year. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You and praise You again and again. We thank You that You receive our praises. We thank You that You encourage us and allow us to trust in You. We know that this psalm doesn't mean everything will be roses, that everything will go good all the time. We know it means You'll be with us no matter what comes our way. We know that the evil one is still out there messing things up. And sometimes we get involved and get caught up. But Lord, we know too that he can't win. He won't win because the victory is in You. So we thank You again and praise You again and offer ourselves to You again and again as Your servants, obedient, humble servants, seeking to do Your will. Thank You that You make this possible, that You allow us and encourage us to be Your people. We praise You in Jesus' name alone. Amen.